God bless you. Good evening. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, with my Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It is my pleasure to be with you on this wonderful Monday afternoon. Next Monday is, well, that is Memorial Day. Amen. And so getting ready to celebrate in America here anyway. Celebrate that holiday. Usually that's a day of barbecuing, breaking out the grill and putting some hot dogs and hamburgers and just all the grill items that you like to grill. And so it's a good time to enjoy family and friends and sit back and even watch a ball game or so. Something on television as a group and have wonderful discussion. What was your last discussion? Family meeting, family time, friend time. What was the last social thing that you discussed? One of the last discussion that we had is about a tragedy that happened here in Memphis, that a two-year-old child left in a car for about 6 hours. And the person that had drove the child to the daycare forgot that they had the child with them, and no one realized that the child was not there. We live in a day and time where people are just going through the motion. They're not doing the checks and balances. And they're just going through the motion. And it's so easy just to have that mundane type of attitude. It's just, you become robotic. But we are to have this life and have it more abundantly. After all, Jesus did say, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So being saved, being a believer, being a Christian, being born again does not mean that you hide in some corner. You walk around with a sour face. But it does mean you are a change agent in the world. God placed you where you are for a reason. It's amazing to me that how I see some men around my age in their 50s, some in their mid-40s, that their behavior or their dress code is now being patterned that after the younger generation where they're showing half of their butt. Where in my generation, we didn't grow up with that behavior. I mean, sagging was maybe showing a little top part of your underwear, the name brand of it. That would happen with anyone that didn't have a regular belt, but to make a fashion statement, I was really showing nearly all of your underwear. And some of these guys, they walk with the pants well below the curve line. And to see the young people doing that, you figure that's the young generation. That's this new age. But it puzzled me when I see old men doing the same. My first thought is you're not going to get your youth back. So trying to dress like today's youth is not going to work. But what it tells me when I look at events like that one, or circumstances like that one, I should say, that the generation that I'm in forgot its purpose. Life is a relay race, if you would. It was for us to receive the baton from those, our elders, and to run it to a point where we can pass it on. But every relay race, the participants in the race have a purpose of winning. I want to speak to whatever generation you're in. Let's win. Let's not cheat. Let's win. But we win when we work together. We win when we have the same goals in mind. I challenge you as a believer. As the song that started the show says, my soul says yes. I challenge you as a believer to say yes to God. Not just any yes, because saying yes is a word. But yes means when he speaks, you listen. When he tells you to do, you do. When he directs you, you follow. That type of yes. That you even begin to anticipate the moving of God. Oh, yeah, you can do that when you truly have been tuned in with him. So I want to encourage you this evening. Our monthly emphasis is unity is necessary. Had a wonderful message that we shared with you on yesterday. piggybacking off of one unity that calls a man to receive deliverance. Then another unity, yet it seemingly was there to help a man, it really did nothing to really truly advance that man. But when that man changed company, the two new friends that came and spoke into his life caused strength to his bone and his ankle. So wherein he was once a beggar, now he has the wherewithal to gain his own wealth through his own work. And he did not have to look to anyone to carry him anywhere anymore. It's a blessing when you can come and go when you need to. That's why I never did anything. Well, I take that back. I never got caught doing anything. Preacher said it that way because once upon a time, there probably were some things that I did in my BC days, before, as they say, before Christ. In my BC days, there probably were some things that probably could have got me locked up. Stop being nosy. I ain't going to tell you what it is. You don't need to know. You don't need to know. It's under the blood. Amen. Just like I don't need to know what you all you done. When you submit your life over to Christ and give him your life, your sins are separated as far as the east is from the west, where the two shall meet no more. That's a wonderful God. Isaac Carey got a phone call right now. So let's listen to that right now.
I've been going through way too long. I can't believe I'm still holding on. Been trying hard to increase my faith, but it feels like it's way too late. The preacher said it's already done. If I believe in Jesus the Son, I got a feeling that it might be right. I'm in the tunnel, but I see the light. I can't repeat this cycle again. Today it comes to an end. Come and sing it.
Right now. Right now. Right now. Things are changing right now.
Right now.
Right now.
My past is over.
Right now.
Future looks much brighter.
Right now.
Because
I declare today things are changing for the better right now. Amen. We don't want them just to change, but we want them to change for the better. So I declare things are changing right now for the better. I want to say welcome again to all of you that have dialed in to the program today. Thank you for calling in. So we want to say thank you and welcome area code 901, area code 440, area code 216, and area code 608. Thank you. Wherever you may be, thank you for listening in. And those that's listening through the internet, may God bless you. And I thank you for allowing us a time and a moment to speak something positive to you and to encourage you. Amen. We are blessed to have a wonderful outline today. I've got several things I'm going to share with you. Number one, the first thought that I need to share and relate to you is that our God is a God of order. That's number one. He's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. And so when we talk about you being part of a church family, and being part of a group of believers that are praying together, believing God together, growing together, studying the word together, these things are very important. And the scripture that tells us to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. Because God knows that it's when we come together and begin to reason about the things that need to be done in our world today, our minds together can pull in information that will begin to spark those already hidden treasures that God has put on the inside of us for the world. And so sometimes the challenges that lies before us in life, they are only to unearth the treasure that's in us, that's buried. So when James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, you know, most time when you fall, you have to get up and dust yourself off. But in the dusting yourself off and the getting up, new boldness is being found in you. A new drive and a new tenacity and a new idea, a new way of doing things begin to flood into your mind on how to be a blessing to the world today, how to be a blessing in your community, how to be a blessing to someone that doesn't have, how to give in a way that is beneficial, that God will get the glory for the things that you're given. One of the things that people was often caught saying, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And some time ago I started preaching, don't wear that as a badge of honor. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That means if the wicked got the wealth and you say you're righteous but you're broke, then you do the text injustice. And you give the devil glory versus God, because God wants to bless you. Yes, the wealth may be made up of those that are wicked. So the wicked does have a level of wealth. But then God know how to touch their heart to give to entities to be beneficial to other programs. There's a man just recently started a campaign to give students complete scholarship, paying all of their college and tuition, a room and board, their books, all of it, so that they can escape their circumstances in life of poverty or being in a low-income area, and giving them opportunity to get the skills and the tools necessary to be competitive in that job market so that they can make better money, so that they can be more productive to their community. And then they started programs in teaching them how to deal with financial wealth. It's so amazing. As a preacher, I've done a lot of funerals and weddings, and it's amazing how many times that when people pass, there's no insurance. And though that they do have insurance, there's no will. And the family is fighting over what's left over. And so we need to know how to properly prepare for things in life. These things was once a conversation in the church, amongst other things, but they have become taboo. Why? The world is talking about how to date. They're talking about sex. They're talking about money, talking about businesses. They're talking about this and that. And we, the church, what are we talking about? I'm glad you asked. We're talking about one another. Yeah. Instead of us talking about things that matter to people to help people get better, we're sitting over there judging the church across the street. Can you believe they bought that sign? Can you believe they spent all the money to do this? And can you believe this? Do you know that pastor did this? Do you know that person? Oh, they member did. And we gossip about one another. The Bible tells us if we catch, oh, when we catch our brother in a fault, it says that we that are spiritual, restore. Restore them in a spirit of meekness. In other words, don't belittle that person. But be humble, because, yes, they fell. Yes, they made a mistake or error. That very well could be you, me. That could be us. We could be the one in the error. And if we were the one that made a bad judgment and shame ran us away, how would we want someone else to come and get us? It's amazing. We read scripture about the good shepherd. The good shepherd having 100 sheep and looking out and seeing that one out of 100 was gone. It said the good shepherd would leave the 99 and go and find the one, the good shepherd. Now, if we are Christians and we're to be Christ-like, where's that one that we went and found that's lost? An amazing thing about it is you don't go and find them by joining what they're doing wrong. You go and find them by rescuing them and helping them to realize their error, so that they can straighten back up. So sometimes you have to listen first, because some people feel so judged. But after you listen, then you must instruct. You must heal. Oh, yes, there's power for you to heal. It is so. I was reading earlier today, and let me turn to it now. Those of you that have your Bibles, and I hope that you do. And I'm going to open up the mics later on. Excuse me. Normally by now, I have a little testimony service going on, but I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us this way today. I want to go to the book of Luke, St. Luke chapter 10. Now, St. Luke chapter 10, there's a point in here where people are rejoicing, and Christ brings understanding to it. But I want to read the whole story, so I don't want to just to the end of it. I want to read to you the whole story, because Jesus sent out his disciples. And that word disciple means student or disciplined student. So Jesus sends out those that are studying under him, that are learning from him. He sends them out, and he sends them out by first empowering them to do something. And so once again, we're in St. Luke chapter 10. For clarity tonight, I'll be reading the New Living. Jesus sent out his disciples. Verse 1 in chapter 10 reads from the book of Luke. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples. So all of us were familiar with the 12 that done great and wonderful things. But at this particular time, he selected 72 more people to do work. The Bible says that the Lord chose, he chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. So in other words, he sent those ahead of him, preparing for his arrival. He sent them to go and get things together. So verse 2 says, these were his instruction to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. See, right there separates for us just going to church, preach happy. Because me going to church is not about me just getting a good word so I can say I served the Lord that day. So he says to them, he says, so pray. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, that's God the Father. Ask him to send more into the field. Now, in case you are missing this parable, the field is the world. The harvest is the people sold. And it is our job to go out and to win souls for the kingdom of God. It's our job to go out and to compel men and women to come into the house of the Lord, to come under the rule of God. It is our job to build and develop the kingdom of God. Because every kingdom is about a king, his rule, his reign, his culture, and his law. And so we are to spread God's culture, his rule, and his law. We are to spread his culture. But when I adapt this culture from wherever I am, and I express this culture, then those that are listening to me talking about that culture are wondering if the culture that I'm talking about is so good, why have I adopted a different culture? So the Bible said that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means people are looking for genuine children of God. They're looking for genuine servants of the Most High. They're looking for people to be authentic. They're looking for people to be genuine and real. They're looking for someone that will say and do the same thing. They're looking for someone that will be a clear voice for them until they understand the voice of God for themselves. Now, that's real powerful. So that's why it's so important for us to be sober-minded. The Bible commands us to be sober. So I'm not to be drunk with wine, high with drugs or anything else. that will cause me not to be able to focus on God's purpose for my life. I'm not to be drunk with power because my name starts with initials that make you toot your nose up in the air to do those things, because at the end of the day, I'm still a servant. Oh, yeah. But you're the pastor, yeah, but I'm still a servant. I may be the pastor, I may be the shepherd, but in truth, I am the under-shepherd to the great shepherd. And we are to behave accordingly. So he says, so pray to the Lord of the harvest, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. In other words, we fresh meat. He's sending us out as lambs amongst wolves. We are not to be afraid to go in rough areas. We are not to be afraid. And I'm not saying that everybody has to go to a rough area. Because if you ain't got the faith to go, stay home. But God will give you a boldness to go where you need to go, to say what you need to say. Because God knows his assignment for you. We all have an assignment. So he says again, and remember that I am sending you out as lamb amongst wolves. Don't take any money. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jesus, we're going to travel. We need some money. We got to eat. We got to do this. We got to do this, that. And they're thinking. But he said, I'm sending you. Uh-oh. What's that understanding? I mean, you're not doing this on your own, so it's not for you to fund. Because this is not you doing it, it's God. And so when you do what God say do, then he fund what he sent you to do. That's why we told over in Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What things? Everything you need to fulfill your godly purpose. So the more you go after God, the more you chasing him, he reveals to you what's next, what you need next. He'll give you the confidence to keep on keeping on the right way. But we just have to learn how to trust him. I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a travel bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and do not stop to greet anyone on the road. In other words, don't sit there. Don't stop. Don't allow nothing to deter you, to detour you, to cause you to delay from getting to the place God wants you. And we have to realize God wants us in places that we are not familiar with. But when we trust him, we don't need to be familiar, because he'll bring clarity as we trust him. So he says, whenever you enter into someone's home, first say, May God's peace be on this house. Those who live there are peaceful. The blessing will stand. The blessing will stand. If there are not, the blessing will return. In other words, when God gives us assignment, he gives us the power to change. And so when we go and that change that we offer in the name of the Lord is rejected, then the mission is still the same. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Why? Because you don't know how much time you have to finish the assignment that was given. And so you have to move when God says move. So it says, don't move around from your home to home. That's a simple statement, deals with church hopping. You've been saved 5 years and you've been to 50 different churches. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible for you to have a legitimate reason to go to 50 different churches over a short period of time. Because at some point, we have to stop thinking it's you and stop thinking it may be me. I may be the one. And so when we begin to focus in a different light, I ain't going to say better, but when we get to focus in a different light, we can focus on what really the Spirit of the Lord is saying with us. So let's continue to read. He says, stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provided. He tells us, don't worry about what they provide. If you want to eat, if you want to eat, amen, somebody. He says, what they provided, don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their labor. Those who work. Who are you talking about? He's talking about the ministers now, those that are laboring in the gospel. And so our first prayer, Lord, send me help. Tired and you think the world is going to hell in the handbasket, then ask yourself, have you prayed for help? Have you prayed for others that will come and be a part of the system? So once again, the text says, don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick. So all my preachers, all my ministers, all of those that are in leadership roles. Think about this. Jesus just told you, don't hesitate to accept hospitality. So don't hesitate when people want to do for you. But he says, and he goes on, he says, we get to verse 10. But if the town refuses to welcome you, if it refuses. Go into the street and say, we wipe even the dust of your town. We wipe our feet because there's something going on over here. You know, Pontius Pilate washed his hand because he didn't want no part of them about to condemn an innocent man. He didn't want no part of that. But we have to learn how to stand. It says, but if a town refuses to refuse to welcome you, go out to the streets and say, we wipe the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your faith. Wow, that's a real strong statement because it allows us to know that there's a limited time. There's a limited time of the things that you must accomplish in life. And so you can't spend a lot of time doing things that you weren't meant to do. So realize that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants to destroy us. And so we have to be mindful that as a kingdom agent, that's what we are as believers, as a kingdom agent, we have to realize that our job is restitution, our job is proper information, our job is to be resounding, and when we do that right, then and only then can we see the true blessing that God has for our nation. He gave it to us way back in the Old Testament. Chronicles, he says, if my people called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. He says, I will forgive their sin. He's going to hear us. He's going to forgive us. And he's going to bring forth healing. We've gone through a major pandemic. And right now is the opportunity of believers to do one-on-one. It's the opportunity for believers to rally for Christ. Just like they put out signs for you to elect this person and that person for this position or that position. Yeah, you can put out a sign and just put that sign out. And let them know I represent Jesus, and he's not for sale, but he's free. It's only going to cost you giving up your sin. And so if you give up your sin, he's going to give you so much more. So take this to heart. Those of you that followed along with it, that was Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're to pray to the Lord. We are to pray and ask for clarity and ask for leniency. Why are we asking for leniency? Because we don't know who needs mercy. We may be the one in need of mercy. And so when we come before the Lord, we ask for him to be our eyes, our strength, our understanding, our intellect. We ask for him to be so much more. So we need to be attentive to what God is really saying. And because God wants to take care of more than just me. Amen, somebody. And so, but when people don't want to receive you, you don't have to fight with them. You can agree to disagree. But once you agree to disagree, then learn how to shake the dust off your feet. As you shake the dust from your feet, you'll see that God will do things that you never thought that would happen. Let me pause for a moment to once again and greet everybody on the line. And God bless you. Press the one if you have a question or comment. I see you there, Missionary Ken. Let me open up your mic there. God bless you, man of God. Always good to have you on the program. Amen. How are you and your wonderful wife?
We're doing okay. You also got Emily with us here tonight. She's sitting here listening with me instead of calling in on her phone. So she's with me here tonight.
All right. And her stepfather there is on the line as well. Amen. So, well, to all of those over there at the Wolfgang camp, God bless you and God keep you.
Yeah, Pastor Bonnet, with your message right there, you don't realize you kind of were hitting in a way back to the prayer request that I've had for many months that everybody knows about, the bus that we are looking for with the blind ministry. And so what Amen. We're doing, I'd like to put this prayer request forth that we would, because we in our ministry believe in what they call faith promise. Okay,
Amen.
It's where by faith people will promise a certain amount of money toward the ministry, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we are asking that by faith people will decide to offer a certain amount toward us getting this bus that we need for our blind ministry. So we could go as the scripture was talking about tonight. I mean, this was a scripture that was apt for this particular, what we're talking about, where it says, go into the highways and hedges and compel them. And it talks about, pray ye the Lord who will send forth laborers into the harvest. And I'm one of those laborers who wants to go out into the harvest. Emily wants to go with us. And we want to get out there, go to the blind schools, blind camps, where they tell the blind student, hey, you got to make your own way to church and or get the churches to take and get you to them. But most of the churches, I'm sorry to say, it's very sad, they don't come to the blind school or blind camp to pick up the student or the blind person and bring them to the church, and it's very sad. So we want to be able to take the gospel to them. So that's what we want to do. I mean, my wife and I, when we got married on our honeymoon, we sacrificed our honeymoon instead of going to some place with a luxurious heart-shaped tub and doing that kind of thing. Mm. We sacrificed our honeymoon and went to a camp for the blind, and we saw God move and save one blind man during our honeymoon. So
we're
asking by faith that people would be willing to offer whatever they're willing to offer by faith and give that promise on a monthly basis toward this bus.
Amen. Amen. Well, we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. And God's able just to have somebody to just give you a bus. And that's the type of God we serve. He is able to do the whole thing at one time. He don't have to bit and pieces it. But can do it all at once.
Well,
Amen.
We did price a couple school districts. We checked with them. We got some prices on some buses, so we already know what we're looking into. Right around $2,000 to $3,000 for a bus, and so that's what we're looking at. And we're just asking, and if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to give the donation information if people would like to give.
Go right ahead, Ken. We'll make that
okay.
available at this moment.
Okay. If you wish to give by faith promise to this endeavor, you could go to our website, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You spell that H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. And then when you're on there, go to the bottom of the homepage right there. It says Love Offerings. You click that link, and you're able to use your credit card and donate. Also, if you have a PayPal account, you could go directly to PayPal and enter the email address 241katie@gmail.com. That's the digit number 2. Then you spell the word for, F-O-R, digit number 1. Then you spell the name Katie, K-A-T-I-E, @gmail.com. So both options are available. And then just indicate in there that you're doing a faith promise for the bus. And then if you wish, you could do that. Or if you wish to send a check or money order, you got that option as well. You could send that to P.O. Box 471 Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. Again, P.O. Box 471 Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. And you can write that check payable or that money order payable to Holiness, H-O-L-Y, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. And then we will be grateful. And, yes, the Lord will greatly, richly bless you. And just make sure you indicate on your check or money order that it is your faith promise for the bus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why else will God bless the believers? There was a time where the believers were rejoicing because after Jesus sent them out, they was able to go and lay hands on people, and they get delivered from those demonic impressions. And so that's why it's so important that we forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. It's good for us to come together. Even like what we're doing right now, coming together on a broadcast and trusting that God will give me what to say to encourage the masses, it never ceases to amaze me how God gives me what he gives me before I preach. There's many times that what I initiated to have, I get ready to minister, and it's like the Lord will give me something totally different. I have to be ready. The Apostle Peter said, be always ready to give an answer for the reason hope and lives within us. And so there are some things that interact with our lives, and that interaction has consequences. And so it's very important for us. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So let's keep on moving.
Hey, Pastor Bonnet.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Emily? I forgot that you was on there. Please forgive me. You have a prayer request, a comment, a testimony?
Well, I have the prayer request for my mom and my stepdad, who are both in nursing rehabilitation centers right now. I'm also asking for prayer tonight because I been sitting here in pain all evening, not saying a word, but just trying to bite the bullet and be able to just go on and do what I need to do. Also, you know how I'm always asking for prayer for our first responders, that God had just put his head around them to keep them safe while they're on duty.
Amen. Amen.
And this morning, I do have a praise report for everybody. I was talking to my dad before the broadcast. I told Dad there is a young lady friend of mine who I went to high school with. She has an RV. She's wanting to sell it. So I texted her. I told her what my dad had asked me to ask her. She said, and I know Dad can hear what I'm saying. She said, let me pray about it. And if God tells me yes, you've got it for what you've said.
Amen. You good? Amen. Well, Father God, we just thank you right now for Sister Emily's request and others. We know we have several people on the line. And maybe some there are some unspoken prayer requests that they just want to submit up to you in their heart. Lord, we know that these 70 that you gave them power to cast out unclean spirits. And you gave them power to heal the sick. And so, Lord God, just like you gave these students, these followers of yours, power to do amazing things, you're still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So, God, we ask that you will empower us to lay hands on the sick and to pray for others and to be the voice of yours to resound things in the ear of the listener. And God, as you do it, Lord God, we submit our nation up to you that's going through some real challenges right now. We want to stand against the spirit of hate, one race against the other, one group against another. We want to come against it, Lord God, and we believe in you for peace. Jehovah Shalom, the spirit of peace, we need you even more. Just so many gun violence taking place in just a short period of time. Lord, we just have to say, if you don't intervene, it's just going to get worse. So, God, we're asking that you will intervene and help things get better. And as you do it, Father God, we tell you thank you. In your son Jesus' name, amen and amen. And we're going to continue to pray for your mother, Sister Emily, and that God will heal her and give her peace there in the rehabilitation home. And your stepfather, that God will just touch him and do the same for him as well. So we're believing God. And because we're believing God, just like water in the sea, you put it in the ground and you leave it. You don't go back and check. I'll pull it up to see if the roots don't come. Now you leave it in the ground so that it may develop, so that one day, glory to God, we'll be able to reap the benefit of that fruit. So let's continue to pray. Amen. Going to church. What is the church? Y'all know I love my commercial about what is the church, but it's not on my board today. My board is missing a page or two here, but that's all right. Going to church, what is the church? Well, the church is the body of Christ. That's right. The church represents the body of Christ. so amazing to me when people say, you don't have to go to church. And they don't really understand the implication when you tell others you don't need to be part of an entity. You don't need to be.
Pastor Bonnet, I'm not near my board right now, but later I'll play the commercials for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Amen. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Wonderful teaching for us to look at understanding the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Now, there's a lot within this. Well, so what is the church? For all of you that really want to know what the church is, here's your answer. And what they say in a nutshell. The church is the body of Christ. We see that as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. So now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities and spiritual gifts, and spiritual abilities, the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagan, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. In other words, you didn't worship God. You were worshiping speechless idols, images, stuff that couldn't talk to you back, like praying to your dead ancestors. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep on going. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's why one of the impardonable sin, the unforgivable sin, is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That is to totally reject the Spirit of God, to say it's non-existent, because it is the Spirit of God that revealed God the Father. It is the Spirit of God that reveals to us the Son and allow us to know, because we weren't there. 2,000 years ago, we weren't there. We take our account from the biblical manuscript that survived time. And we take it by faith that these things actually occurred as it has been stated. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things are true. How is that so important? Because although you and I wasn't there, he was. Spirit was there. Because he was there, he's an eyewitness to the accounts. That's so very important for us to understand. So, let me see. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of services, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, still the same God who does the work in all of us. So if you say you're working by God and he's working in you, and I say the same thing, we may be doing two different things, but it's the same God. Amen. Same God. Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So when you got gifts of prophecy and speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues, gifts of help, hospitality, all of these different gifts, they are there for a reason, so that we may be able to use them to be servant one to another. Amen. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. To the same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the same Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. That is the spirit of, not just the spirit of discernment, but the discernment of spirit. A lot of people have that natural intuition of discernment. And so I share many times with my sisters that says this, share with them that they pray that God will take that gift to the next level, and that is to bring clarity so that God will expose not just the enemy, but who's the enemy, which direction he's in, you know, to bring clarity to that whole thing, so that when you're working, that you'll know what type of spirit to be praying against. Amen. Let me keep on moving. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown language, while another is given the ability to interpret it. What is being said is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So let's not be jealous because someone can sing and you're fighting to hold a note. That's the gift God gave them. And because God gave it to them, it's for them to work it to benefit the kingdom. You'd be surprised how many people are sitting on their gifts. And so this is the body. So one body with many parts. Verse 12, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up the one whole body. Excuse me, allow me to read this again. Verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. And some are slaves and some are free. But we all been baptized into one body by one, and we all share the same spirit. So yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot say, I am not part of the body because I am not the hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. I want to insert the word important. Although the text doesn't say that, because a lot of times we undermine our ability. The foot is important, but the foot can't be upset because it's not a hand. And so we must be mindful that being part of the one body, that we don't tear down the other members of the body. Amen. So verse 16, and if the ear say, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? No. It is exactly a part of the body. And so as a church, it's not for us to bicker whose talent is what, but it's for us to discover these talents together and utilize these same talents to impact our world, our community, our home. Amen. So verse 17 says, if the whole body was an eye, how will it hear? If the whole body was an ear, how would it smell? Glory to God. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Now, how strange a body would be if it had only one part. Is our word? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't want you. In fact, some parts of the body that seems weakest and less important are actually the most necessary. And the part we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest of care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less diligently. This makes for harmony amongst the members, so that all members care for each other. Now, that's what we need to build on. All members care for each other. I got to read the rest of it. If one part suffer, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God appointed to the church. Now, we see this over in Ephesians, and so it's repeated for us. First, our apostles. Second, our prophets. Third, our teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have the gift of leadership. And those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown language? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most important gift. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And the church say amen. May God bless the hearers, the readers, of all the doers of this precious holy word. So here in a nutshell, we see the body of Christ as perfectly outlined to us as being the church for the purpose of being a, whether it's the local church or the universal church, not the Unity Worldwide Church, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about God's temple. We're talking about a true church that is designed to be a help to its community and those members that have joined with it. And so we're not looking for stump toes. We're looking for those that will put their fingerprint on it. We're looking for those that will put their hands on it. And so come to more. Earlier we read, pray unto the Lord of the harvest, and he will send forth laborers into the vineyard. And so we're to pray that God will send help. Because when we look out sometimes, as you look and you hear the news talking about somebody else that got shot, the baby done died because somebody left it in the car, and all this stuff become overwhelming. But when we stop and slow down and just allow God to do what he does, and what he does is he cools us from blowing our top. He keeps us alive. He keeps us part of the temple of the Most High. God is able to do so much more for us. But we're thankful for what he is doing. We are part of the body of Christ. You know, if I went to pick up something heavy with my strong hand, my left hand, because I'm left-handed, my right hand immediately began to go and assist my left hand. we have a people would function like that better. That without being asked, my right hand automatically rendered support. And so automatically when you go after God, he's already coming after you. So be encouraged that you are part of God's body. Now, here's the beauty of that. So you know how sometimes our natural bodies get sick? Matter of fact, tonight one of the prayer requests was about someone being not feeling good. And so when we think about he's gave them power of healing. So I got healing trapped on the inside of me. And if I'm not allowing it to come out, it'll stay buried. Amen. Trying to get back to my line here. Amen. Excuse me for my delay. All right. So once again, chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians, the breakdown of the church as an entity, and there's so much more. But I'm not going to get into all of it tonight. I'm going
to
say
Pastor Bonnet, if you'd like to add to your message, I could play that commercial, What is the Church Now?
Yes. Yes, go ahead. And I love that by John Hagee. I think it's John Hagee. But play that. You know the one I love playing. Play that and the favor of God.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music, the tradition, or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
Something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. because that's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen. The favor of God stops the manipulating. The enemy wants to manipulate us, because the Bible said, thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we're full circle now. God wants you to have an abundant life. Amen, somebody. Now at this time, I'd like to open up the lines and give anyone opportunity to comment on the text on tonight. Maybe you have a question. Even if we're not able to answer tonight, we'll do our very best to answer the next time. I'm simply a servant of the Lord. Amen. And so, two, one. If you have a question or comment tonight, all our lines are open now. I want to say thank you for joining us.
Pastor Bonnet, I just wanted to say it was a good message. And when you're talking about the different parts of the body and how they help each other, it kind of reminds me of, like, when you're blind, you learn to use your other senses to take up for the fact that you can't see. You train them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And it becomes automatically. Certain things are automatically as we move, regardless to how we feel about it. So certain things are automatic with our body. If you trip, your hands automatically position themselves in a way to brace your fall, whether it was backwards, sideways, or going forward. Amen. Amen. So do I have any questions tonight? Anything? Did I explain it tonight okay? Is there any uncertainty of the text tonight? Amen. No one. Well, I'm not going to make it.
I thought I heard six out there.
Amen.
You did. Great message.
Hey, Brother Six, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How's your mental?
Mental is good. How's yours?
Okay. My mind is fantastic. It's about to be off the charts. Amen, amen. You started this, and I'm just taking it to the next level. And I would like for us to time check on our loved ones and make sure that they haven't picked up any bad habits, that seemingly new to us. But so anybody else is why I'm making more comments. I'm trying not to talk the whole program already. So bless the name of the Lord. Yes, ma'am. What's the question, Emily?
Question, but there is a comment.
All right.
With what you were talking about tonight reminds me of this church that I used to go to. I was raised up in it, okay? And since I had to quit going because I can no longer climb up on a van, this church has not once contacted me to say, hey, Sister Emily, how you doing? Do you need anything? Anything like that? I ain't heard nothing from none of the members of that church. Now that I'm in this ministry and I'm doing just the coloring for the youth program and people have seen my work, I get more compliments that way. And then they want to know, when are we going to get it up on our website so they could order some?
That's all right.
Because to me, I thought it would be something to be up in the choir, be able to be up there singing for the glory of God. But yet, since I haven't been able to do that anymore and been down with different things that I've been hit with in different struggles, I haven't heard nothing out of these church people where I used to go to church. And I think that's pretty bad when they're supposed to be believers of God and they don't contact a member if they're not around to even bother. And even the pastor and his wife don't even contact me. And I think that's pretty bad.
Amen. Well,
our founder and my big brother that I heard there just a few minutes ago?
I believe so, but I'm about to mute there. I'm going to mute their line because they have some. He got a conversation going on the side there, so we wanted that conversation to remain private. Amen.
That 440261 number that you opened the mic on, Dad normally never talks on air.
Yeah,
I just want to tell Dad, can't wait for you to get strong enough to come home again. Miss you, Dad. And the kiddies miss you, too. They keep on looking for you.
He stopped saying, nah, nah, to the kiddies.
No, he'll get. The thing is, I think what the kiddies miss is because Grandpa at night, he'd be laying on the bed. He'd lay there. They'd get up by him. He'd give them attention and play around with them for a little bit or until they got tired of it, and then they'd walk off. But let me go near Dad if he was sleeping on his bed where it sits. When they're joking around, I can tell you this, and I don't know if I ever told my dad this, but the one night he was sound asleep, I was goofing off with the one cat that was laying by him. And I told the cat, I said, Blackie, Mommy's going to go beat up Papo. Ha-ha, Papo's sleeping. I'm going to whoop him. Joking around, that cat jumped up on that bed, got right next to Dad, and I come near the bed, and he open mouth spit at me.
Well,
Yes, he did. I was like, my goodness, I'm on the joke.
Yeah.
That wasn't even cool.
Little decoration. Little decoration for you. That's all. Amen.
No,
amen.
I've been decorated too many times by these kids.
It ain't over yet. But anyway, anybody else has a comment or hello? Anybody? All right. Well, with that being said, we have definitely given everybody the opportunity to say something on tonight. Once again, we want to be praying for our nation as a whole. The president has his hands full as a president. And our Constitution that allows us to have this type of meeting, there's so much more that we can be thankful for as we walk through life by itself. But we just have to remember that the more we tell him thank you, amen. Father, we pray for those families over in New York, Lord God, that's dealing with their loss, Lord God. We pray for the mindset of the young man that did the shooting, Lord God. God, we pray, Lord God, that those that are that those that amen. And Lord, we need you to bless those that are suffering right now. We need you to look down on them. And Lord God, give them the peace that they need on the inside. I'm not going to say give them rest because you may call them home. But Lord God, give them the understanding, Lord God, that they are important to the body, that they are the body. And without them, there would be no body. So, God, we pray for those that have gone through some misfortune, that of disconnect. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we have the moment to connect with so many more that are they're not connected. So we thank you, Lord God, for just being there with us and helping us to get from day to day. You're a fair God because you give us all the same 60 seconds in a minute, the same 60 minutes in an hour, the same 1 week become 2 weeks. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we thank you. We thank you, God, for being always. Amen. Amen. But before I pray my last strike once again, please check your mental health. There's a lot of people that's going through stress. And yes, we can pray certain spirits off of people, but there's nothing like to know that God is praying. Amen. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch as well as pray in Jesus' name. Let us all please be good neighbors. Amen. On this strike here, it simply says sweet.
Help me make it through. What you gonna take it in the morning for?
I'm not gonna get up. Get up at 6.
I guess, man. I guess.
I'm in the shower.
I guess.
My bed is ready to go.
I guess. That's breakfast, but okay.
Oh, I'll get it on Friday.
Oh, okay. Alright.
Well, I'm singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Well, 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 Mary,
oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
'Cause there are sorrows,
Mary.
But don't you know that it's
drowned in the Red Sea.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Well, well, singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
Well, 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 Mary.
Oh, Mary,
yeah.
Don't you weep.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
'Cause there is a tell Martha not to moan.
Martha, don't you moan.
I'm singing this.
If I could,
I believe that I would.
I truly
would. Well, I put my foot on that rock where
Moses stood.
Moses stood. 'Cause Pharaoh's army.
Tell
Martha not to mourn.
you mean.
Tell mother not to mow.
Don't